everybody. Hi, it's Sherry with Simply Celebrate, and I am so excited to introduce you today to Lori Mackey, who is a certified holistic health coach, and she teaches the art of holiatry, which I know is very intriguing, and she's going to explain it in a minute, but I love that name, the art of holiatry, through her books and speaking engagements. Lori is also the proprietor of Lori's Lemonade Stand, which is a positivity podcast for women. And it's been running for 2 years now with more than 100 episodes. And I was lucky enough to be one of her guests. So I'll post that link below this audio so you can listen to that show, which was a lot of fun. So, hey, Lori, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love, love, love you and love Simply Celebrate. So thank you.
And I love you and I love Lori's lemonade. So it's going to be great fun.
Hey, good.
Listen, Lori, before we go too much further, as I promised people, I'd love to have you tell us, what is holiatry?
Yeah, this is kind of great because I've kind of brought this to the table as a new thing, and basically it is a holistic approach to life. So the art of holiatry is this beautiful triangle, and it is three main focus points, and they are points of health and well-being. So the first one is physical, which includes nourishment and rest and movement, anything having to do with our body. And then we move into the second point, which is psychological, and that has everything to do with your mind and spirit, or your intuition, if that is a better way to explain that. And then the third part is our social life. So once we've kind of found some balance in physical and psychological, then we're ready to branch out into social life, which is our relationships, and that's relationships with anyone, with strangers, with friends, in your community, your family, your coworkers, all of those things. And so that, in a nutshell at least, is that's what encompasses the art of holiatry.
Oh, and Lori, you know this about me, that it's one of the things that I just so appreciate is that ability to really like look at, you know, positivity and happiness and joy in that bigger picture way, which I feel like is what you're doing. You know, by making it, which it already is, of course, but by pointing out the holistic aspects of it.
Well, and I think the thing that most people are not wrapping their head around, and this is, of course, part of my crusade, right, in bringing my positivity crusade to the world, or especially to women, actually, is that I want people to understand that energy creates energy. And so it could be, if you are in a negative spot, that negative energy will create more negative energy. And so you can choose, right? We can choose to have positive energy, which will in turn create more positive energy. And while I'm on my positivity soapbox, I understand perfectly well we are going to have bad days, and there will be bad moments. There will be bad periods of our life. That we are not going to be completely 100% positive all the time. Like, I get that. I understand that. I fight and struggle with that all the time too. But I feel that through practice and experience in creating positivity and choosing positivity, that we're more likely to have positive outcomes with all of those negative moments that are going to happen to us no matter what, because we're human and we're living a human existence. So it's going to come about.
Oh, Lori, yes, 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 1,000 times over. I mean, I'm always saying joy is a practice. And it's funny because this morning I was listening to my own spiritual teacher, Sherry Huber, on a show. And she was talking about, she was kind of talking about our spiritual practice in general, but applies to this, that it's like we practice now, you know, for the times that are those really difficult times. Because then it's like we sort of have that muscle built up. And I think that's kind of what you're pointing to, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing. And I love this, that over time, at least in my life, I've had plenty of bad or down moments. But one of the great insights, at least for me personally, is that when those things come up now in my life, I remember, I have this remembrance, this history of, I knew that I made it through that. I have made it through some absolute horrific things, and a lot of them were choices that I brought on myself, that I made, and so I put myself in that position. I don't have anyone else to blame but myself. But because I made it through, I know that I'm going to make it through again. And that's exactly what you're talking about, what I'm talking about. Like, we're practicing. We're practicing, and we know, I mean, even if it sucks, like, even if we were really bad that first time going through whatever it was, we learned something from that. And so then the next time you go through it, you're like, yeah, but I made it through that thing. If I can make it through that thing, then it's going to be easier to get through this thing. And so we just build on that, and we build on that. It's like going from kindergarten to elementary school to high school to college to, you know, our jobs or whatever. Like, it's just this slow graduation. And I feel like now that I'm over 40 and actually closer to 50 than 40, that I've gained those experiences and that knowledge. And I completely reach out and call on that when I go through something new.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, yeah, as you were just saying that, I was just thinking I have like a little small example of that that happened yesterday that I, for whatever reason, I was like feeling funky. You know, I couldn't get my energy going. I was just feeling like bleh. And, and you know, I think in the past, like say like 20, 30 years ago, I would have fallen into what I used to call the pit. It was just sort of like when you said energy begets energy, non-energy can also beget non-energy. Like, you know, just sort of plopping down or, you know, just lying down and feeling funky. Then I feel worse. Then I eat bad things, right? Like, you know.
Yes.
But I think it's one of the beautiful things about practicing. Like, my son was going out to do a quick run, and I was just like, I'm going to go with him. Like, I had that experience in me knowing, you know what, I bet if I just get myself outside and get some energy going, something will shift. And it takes that willingness, right? You got to get over that little hump.
Yes. You know. Oh, the hump though looks huge. I mean, it's a little hump, but it feels like a freaking mountain. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So did you go run with your son?
Well, so I did, you know, and I'm not a runner. It's not something I typically do, but he was actually just going to go do some sprinting. And I was like, oh, I can just do a couple, like, whatever, just run up the block. And it totally shifted my energy. And it was it's a little example, and yet it's also everything. Because to me, and I feel like we've talked about this before, singular moments can have such an impact. They can turn the whole direction that we're going.
Yes. Yes,
and that's what happened.
And I think it's still important though to mention that you can attack that from two different ways. I love how you attacked that yesterday. So action would be one way to attack that. The other way is if you need to embrace that downtime, that non-energy time, put a time limit on it, and say, okay,
wow.
I'm going to veg out and watch this movie. Or I'm going to veg out and read this book that I love, this romance that I've been dying to get into but haven't given myself the opportunity to do for 1 hour. And so you just decide that you're going to stick whatever that time limit is, whether it's, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, just put a time limit on it and embrace it. Just say, okay, I'm going to have a pity party. Maybe your pity party will be catered and there will be Ben and Jerry's with you. You know, I mean, it could be anything, right? Like, it could be anything, but if you put a time limit on it and say, okay, I'm going to give myself this time, but then when I'm done, I'm going to go back and tackle this, or, you know, whatever it is that hump that feels like a mountain that you need to get over, then you're going to go back and tackle it. And then you just, because then you're just embracing it. So you either give yourself a time limit on it to just go ahead and be non-energetic, or you take action and decide you need to get out of it right now. And so you can do either one.
You know what, Lori, that is so, I'm really glad you brought that up. You know, that there's different ways to approach it. And what it reminded me of is actually something that I want to go a little bit deeper with you about today. It made me think that, to me, what's so important about sort of knowing, like, is it time for a run? Is it time for that, like, just sort of really letting myself go into this funk? That it takes a certain kind of connection to myself to be able to discern in that moment what this being really needs. And that's one of the places, we totally have not yet mentioned your book. I'm going to throw it out there right now. So everybody, Lori has a new book, which is what prompted this wonderful moment of conversation together, called Positivity Happens. And in the book, there's just a whole wealth of different kinds of ideas about what Lori was talking about the physical, the psychological, the social, aspects of happiness and positivity. But the one that I really wanted to go a little deeper with you is about that connection to ourselves. And it's perfect because I think when you were just giving that example of, you know, we could go one way or the other, to me, there needs to be a certain deep connection to myself to discern what's right in the moment.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So do you want me to talk about the date now? Do you want me to talk about a little bit more of this? Because I want to make sure that I have you on the same page here because again, so let me make sure. Am I going to talk about our self-date now?
Okay. Lori?
Let me just
say one sentence before that, which is yes. So your book, Positivity Happens, and the tagline is creating happiness and finding hope through the art of heliotropy. And one of the chapters that I really honed in on when I read it was the one where you called it creating the perfect self date.
Yeah.
And I think this would be a great time to bring it up because I would love to introduce and further talk about with people this idea of connecting to ourselves. So yeah, tell us.
Okay, and I want to definitely, just a couple things. First, let me just, the prelude is that what I was talking about before, what I teach, or what I preach, I guess, I've already put into practice myself. When I talk about creating the perfect self-date, I will just tell all of your listeners here that I stunk. Like, my first couple tries at self-dates were horrible. They were just horrible. I was just trying to be, trying to take care of myself and add a self-care practice. And I really wanted to have recess. I really wanted recess in these self-dates. And so, just for some reason in my head, the ocean came to mind. I live 15 minutes from the ocean, and I thought it just seemed like it was a serene place and I should just go. And you picture people on beaches all the time in tons of movies, and there's romantic scenes and there's walking down the beach on sunset scenes, and it just seems serene and wonderful. And so I just thought, it just naturally came into my head that I wanted to go to the beach. And so I decided I was going to spend, I can't even remember, it was an hour, hour and a half at the beach, and I, there was this hill that I hadn't climbed up the beach, and I was going to watch the beach. And so I did. I climbed up on that stinking hill, and I sat there for an hour, and I watched like everybody go by, and I was like, this sucks. Like, this is not what I want to do. And so really, like, for all you listeners here, I hate the beach. I don't like the beach. I'm a mountain person. But in my head, I just had this vision of everyone that's at the beach, and you're always happy when you're at the beach. I'm not happy at the beach. So I'm not happy at the beach. It's not my cup of tea. It's just not my thing. I hate the sand. I hate the wind. Every time I get in my car, there's sand everywhere. There's sand in my shoes. If you go swimming in the ocean, there's sand in your swimsuit. It's super uncomfortable. It's just not a fun place. It's not my happy place. It's not my happy place. So when I wrote about it in my book, Positivity Happens, I wanted people to understand how to create a really good, perfect self-date. And so if you can, everyone that's listening, please grab paper and pen, because I want you to be able to write this for yourself. This is going to be super simple to do. And you can just write down even the format, the outline of it, and then think about it after you've listened to Sherry and I today. So let me walk you through that. First, I want you to, and leave space in between these five things, okay? You're going to write down your five senses. So you're going to write down sight, and then leave space for, like, you know, one to five things underneath it, if you're on lined paper. Sound, touch, taste, and smell. So I'm going to repeat that really quick. Are you playing along? Okay, good.
Yes!
Okay, so you're going to write sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. And so the best part about this is that now you've left these spaces in between, and you are going to write down your favorites. So I ended up writing four under each of these. And so under sight, and I'm going to share with you what I wrote. This is when I first did this for the very first time, and your answers might change over time. A year from now, your favorites might be different. And so you can play again and create a new self-date. But when I did this for the first time, I actually found my notes. I added them in this book of when I did my perfect self-date for the first time. So here's what I wrote. Number one was, for sight, was horses. Number two is Marvel movies. Number three, Int book by Josie S. Kilpack or Nancy Campbell Allen. Love those girls. And number four, A Comfy Fire in the Fireplace. Like, those are things I wanted to look at. And understand,
okay,
I wrote...
Wait. Yes. I'm going to stop you for a second, Lori. I love yes. this. And I actually okay. want to just give people a few moments because
okay, sure.
I love to just have people do things right now. And
okay, let's
so,
do it. Yes.
And I liked your idea. Like, so someone could write down, like, so you're thinking about site right now. Even if you only write down, you know, one or two things, you could fill it in the rest
yes.
later, but you have something. So
yes.
I just wrote down ocean, colors, artwork, and great books. So
okay.
Yay. So okay,
okay.
now let's
so
move
let's,
on.
Let's compare. Okay, let's compare. So I first sound, I wrote down number one. This is number one for me, and I know this will sound silly, but it's the sound of the dishwasher running. Every time I went to bed as a kid, my mom and dad had just done dishes, and they turned the dishwasher on. It's just a comforting sound to me. It's a comforting sound of when I went to bed. So dishwasher running is one of them. Running water, like my fountain in my courtyard or like a stream or a river. The third one was my awesome playlist. I have just this eclectic group of playlists all over on my phone and everywhere. And then my fourth one was actually these large printers at the work of where my husband and I own a business. And because when they're running, I know we're making money.
So, oh, my God,
have,
that's so great.
So,
I
have that,
that
business
doing...
for 14 years. So I like that sound. I like that sound. So tell me what you wrote.
I love that you're giving us these great examples. So people, as we're talking, write down things that you love the sounds of. And again, I just wrote off the top of my head. Obviously, I think I'm going to go back and put a little more time into it. But just off the top of my head, I wrote down, I love the sound of laughter. I love the sound of, like, city sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sound of piano.
Oh, nice. Yes. Okay, good. Okay, on to touch. My number one was towels right out of the dryer.
Ooh,
I love
that's a good one.
Towels right out of the dryer. I also love soft pillows and throws. I love a hot shower. I do some of my best thinking in a hot shower. And then my last one was my love monster. I have a little love monster that my husband bought me. It's a little stuffed animal on my nightstand, and there's a book that goes with it called The Love Monster. And it's not a pretty stuffed animal. It's like a goofy looking stuffed animal that's red, and it has like googly eyes, and it's just kind of quirky looking. But it's super soft, and I really, if I'm feeling down, I take it to bed with me for sure.
I love it. Okay, so everybody's thinking of and writing down things that you love the touch, the feel of. Things that came to me were a warm breeze, my boyfriend, clean
yep.
sheets, and a hot bath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. Okay, yes.
This is fun just talking about, even without doing anything. It's like a little mini
mind. Yes, but wait till we get done, because the best part, we'll have a finale at the end. This is going to be awesome. Okay, taste is the next one. Number one for me was French fries from my favorite restaurant, Veggie Grill. It's the only place I actually eat French fries. I am vegan, and it's a vegan restaurant, like fast food restaurant. The next one is saffron rice and yellow dal. I really love that. The third one is my favorite vegan dark chocolate bar. With sea salt and almonds, no less. That's my favorite. And then my last one is buttered toast. And again, that goes back to childhood. I was the oldest of the children. And when my mom was pregnant with the other three kids, she would get morning sickness really bad. And that's what I knew how to make. And I would shove a chair up to the counter and make my mom toast. And so toast is that whole comfort food for me, where I just really like buttered toast. So, all right, what'd you put down?
I love that. I love you. This is so fun. It's fun to hear people. You can learn a whole lot about people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I put down, and again, just off the top of my head, I put down the taste of lime. I love the fresh taste of lime.
Okay.
Sparkling wine, white bean hummus, and popcorn.
Mm.
Not necessarily all together, but as separate seats.
No, of course not. No, but the I'm with you. The popcorn. We should never go to the movies together because we both buy larges, I'm sure. Tons of popcorn. I just love popcorn. Yes. Okay. Last one is smell. So one of them, you're going to love this, but, the second one. Let me give you the first one. The first one is citrus blossoms. So I love, like, the blossoms when the lemon groves have blossoms on them, orange groves. So any of those citrusy blossoms, I just love that smell. And number two, the one that you're going to love, is popcorn popping.
Oh,
I love
yes.
when popcorn is popping. I love that smell. And everyone knows, like, even five neighbors down, they know that you've popped popcorn, right? So,
yes!
So popcorn popping
great.
Is good. The third one is jasmine. I actually really love jasmine. I have a huge tree. It's in full bloom right now. All the vines up the front of my house. It's gorgeous right now. And then the last smell is toast. Like, when somebody makes toast, like, everyone in your house knows that you've made toast. So, all right, tell me what your smells are.
I love all of those smells on your list. And I copied jasmine because that's one of my favorite is to just like be walking outside
yes.
and smell jasmine.
Yes.
Also eucalyptus. I love any kind of bath products that have eucalyptus, the freshness of that. And I put coffee brewing or coffee house.
Ah, there you go. Okay, my husband would completely agree with you. Yes, he is a coffee connoisseur. He's kind of a coffee snob, actually. So yes, very good. Okay. So now that everyone has, now just keep in mind, this is not set in stone. You can change any of your answers. You can go back and think about it, ponder it, meditate on it a little bit more. But just from your list right now, this is a good little exercise for you to come up with a self-date. So this is what I did. Using my list, I chose one thing from each of the senses and I created a date around it. So you listen to me, like tell you, these are all things I wrote down. What I loved in sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. So I bought a diffuser on Amazon and I diffused the wild orange from doTERRA. And that was my smell. And then I ran to that favorite vegan restaurant of mine, Veggie Grill, and I bought both kinds of French fries, mind you. I bought the regular Yukon Gold and I bought the sweet potato with my favorite Chipotle ranch. And so then I turned on the dishwasher and just so that you know, there were no dishes in it. Zero dishes. I just turned on the dishwasher so the sound was in the background. And then I had my fireplace going. And then I snuggled into my recliner with a book from Josie S. Kilpack and a snuggly throw. And that was my self-date. That was my self-date. And so it's way better for you to go and make this list even as fast as you want or as slow as you want. You want to think about it a little more. It's better to do that than do something that someone else might enjoy and that is not your happy place, right? Because the beach was not my happy place. But for some reason in my head, that was just the first place my mind jumped to. So if I had taken this few minutes, 15 minutes or whatever it was, and just did this five senses, I could have created the perfect self-date and it would have been good. But it was good that I had a bad one first because then I grew from that. I was like, never again am I going to go back and do a bad self-date and have recess with myself and do something that I hate to do. I am going to do something that's really fun. And I still go back to that self-date because it's one of the most fun things I do. And it was great. And I'm going to go have those French fries tomorrow night after this whole interview. I already have it on my calendar to
you
go again.
Do.
It's something I love. And so, we need to practice more positivity. And the French fries will stay on my thighs for, another week, but I don't care. I'm going to eat them anyway with all the Chipotle ranch and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of them. But I wanted everybody just to be able to make their perfect self-date and see how easy it is to do that and create their own positive energy.
Lori, I love this exercise, and I really hope that people will follow what you're saying, like not just stop here, but actually give themselves the gift of, And the thing that's dropping in for me about this is I imagine that actually the doing of it is such a huge gift, but that one of the things that is occurring to me is that simply planning something like this for ourselves, turning our attention to consciously and intentionally creating a joyful activity or a date for ourselves, that is such a big part of it, I think. You know what I mean?
Right, and I think, yes, because when I, so I'm a giver. I'm definitely a giver. And so when I think about creating a date night with my husband, like, I'm all in. I'm like, well, what will he enjoy and what can we do? And I want him to be, like, so grateful by the time that we're done that he has to be, you know, telling me how what a great time he had or whatever. And but I wouldn't take the time to do that for myself. Like, so I've had to learn. Like, that was definitely a new thing for me to learn. But now that I've learned, I will never let that out of my self-care practice again because it's just too fun. It's just too fun.
I love that. And, you know, some of the people listening to this may likely know this about me, but a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, I started doing quarterly retreats for myself. So I go away. There's this wonderful little tiny cabin about an hour from here that is really inexpensive to rent, and there's no internet, there's no phones. It's really off the grid. And so every quarter I take myself there, and that's it's a version of it. I mean, it is a self-date, actually. It's a 24-hour self-date. And it has really, truly changed my life. Just having that time to just be with myself. And if I take foods I love, I take books that I love, I take projects that I'm really excited about. And it's so important.
Yes. Yes. How do you feel when you come back from that?
Oh, heavenly. I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's like a reset button in a way. You know, that there's something about it that it's like it gives me perspective on who I am and what's important to me. And I come back just feeling, even if it's only 24 hours, and it's like, I feel like I've been gone for weeks. You know, it's just that refreshing somehow.
Well, and I love, and this has been used way too much, but, you know, the oxygen mask on yourself first and then on your kid or whoever's sitting next to you. Like, it is so true. Like, you go and you take that 24 hours and you come back, you're better for everyone in your household and your community. Like, you come back a better person, relaxed, more grounded, so that you can then share a better version of yourself with everyone around you. It's way worth it. It's 100% worth it to do that.
Yes, and I love that you're bringing this up. I'm so sad because I feel like I could talk to you for the next 3 hours straight. I know we have to wrap up, but we're going to do it again. We'll do it again in a couple of months.
Will.
It'll be fun.
We
will, but I'm so glad you brought that up because I feel like this is so much where, you know, of course, we're aligned in so many ways, but it's like I'm always saying, like, we have to know how to celebrate ourselves. We have to know how to have that kind of joy for ourselves, just like you're saying, so that we can take it out in the world. And, you know, there's this strange, weird thing in our culture that has happened that it somehow, for many people, became selfish to bring ourselves joy or to focus on our own joy. And
right.
I think the things that we're talking about today, it's really about rewriting some of that old conditioning that not everybody, but many people have gotten, you know, that guilt. Well, I should be doing for my kids, or I should be doing for my mom, or I should be doing for other people. But this is like you're saying. I mean, this is how the well gets filled up.
Well, and I was definitely that victim. I was the one that felt that I just super guilty to take that time for myself. Absolutely. I should be focusing on my children, my husband, my business, you know, all of these, my things that I do for my church community, all of those things. Like, I need to focus outside because we're supposed to, even as women, like serve. But it took me a long time to kind of change that because I still serve. I still serve, but I'm a better version of me serving others, which is better for everyone, better for me, and better for everyone that I come in contact with, right? Because I am bringing my best self to the table whenever I possibly can. And that's, again, like you said, we just need to change the conversation around this. We need to let ourselves be filled and it's not being selfish. It's not like we're going out and saying, well, I need to spend $10,000 on my credit card at Bloomingdale's in order for me to feel better. No, like, these are things that we're just talking about, some self-care to make ourselves better so that we can show up better in the world.
That was beautifully said. That was so great. And I think where that all brings us to, you know, to circle back just for a quick minute to your book And the fact that I feel like, you know, your book is filled with like all of these simple things that people can focus on or activities to do. You've got tons of resources. You've got this wonderful 30-day, you know, the Power of Positivity Challenge at the back. And so I just want to say to people that it's like, it is like it's all part, back to that holistic thing. It's all part of the whole. And if it's okay, Lauren, I'd love to end with, there's something I pulled from the book. I didn't ask you about it, but that it was just a little paragraph.
Please, it's out there in the world, so I'm guessing it's okay. We're good.
Yeah. So I love this. I don't even know where it was in the book, but it really struck me. You said, in holiatry, we will constantly be taking inventory and doing maintenance on the individual parts, but we are looking for the symphony as a whole. We are human, so we will never achieve perfection. However, I believe that by tuning each individual part, we will be in the best shape possible to accomplish our goals, be our most authentic selves, and bring our best game to this thing we call life.
Wow, that was good. Did I write that?
Yes! Ooh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? And I love that in that one little paragraph, you know, you cover a lot of things, you know, like we're just, you know, we're just tuning these individual parts. We're not going for perfection. You know, that feeling of balance and symphony, to me, I just love that.
Yes. And I just, so if you guys want to just learn some more dirt on me, just so that you know that I'm not positive all the time, like the first part of that book, I just break down everything. I have experiences and stories in the physical aspect, the psychological aspect, the social aspect, where, you know, I was definitely not perfect in what I was doing. And so you're going to understand that I'm human. And then again, like Sherry was saying, it's a 30-day Power of Positivity Challenge at the end. And don't be overwhelmed by it. If it takes you 90 days to finish the 30 days, it's not a big deal. Just go at your own pace and enjoy it. Enjoy it. You will create positive energy, which will in turn create more positive energy.
Focus
on progress, not perfection. Focus on progress,
yes.
not perfection.
I love that, Lori. And, of course, so I will be posting some links to your website, to the book, to that podcast I talked about that I was lucky enough to be on with you. And I'm just so grateful that we had this time to connect. I feel like here's a good example, right? Like, yeah, there's that whole social aspect of the book, but it's like I've been watching my energy. You know, and it's like, mm-hmm. I was in a really good mood before we talked, but now I feel like, you know, like I feel really great. So.
Yep. And that's because of connection. And I'm grateful to have my connection with you. Thank you for having me on today.
Oh, I just love you so much. We'll do this again. Okay.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you, Sherry. All right. Bye, Lori.